Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope you are doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, but I doubt it. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us again. Really appreciate it. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you once again that if you like what you hear, please, please, pretty please go to Apple Podcasts, rate our podcast, and leave us a comment or two. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and all that good stuff, too. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWPodcast.com. Oh, yeah, just a note, the podcast is also available on Google Play. You should be able to search it and find it. If you can't find it on Google Play, just hit me up on Instagram at Old Man Fresh, OldManFresh, Old Man Fresh. Or you can hit us up at ICBW Podcast, and I'll get that message too. And I'll shoot you a link if you need it, if you're on the Android platform. Don't mind doing that at all for you. Once again, we are still picking random listeners on a weekly basis who leave comments and rate us on Apple Podcast or connect with us on social media and share our content. The winners will get a prize pack that includes one of our t-shirts and some other merchandise that you are going to absolutely love, because I will not give you shit that you cannot use. Keep telling you that. Ask the people that have gotten the stuff thus far. They love it. Now, without further delay, let's get this thing rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, culture connoisseur, and all kind of other stuff. It's my partner in podcast crime, man. Reg, what's the deal, player?
What's up, Fresh? Hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, cuz. What's happening?
Oh, man. You know, I'm just rolling, man. Got a lot of shit on my mind today, man. We're going to be discussing a topic that is just kind of near and dear to my heart, man. And, we're going to kind of ride off of an episode that we had before when we talked about the N-word. And, this is probably going to spark a little debate too, because I mean, we're hopeful that this podcast reaches a lot of different generations, and I think that generationally speaking, there are going to be some different points of views based on when you were born and how you've consumed this particular product. And the product that I'm talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, is hip-hop music. Man, a wise man once said, and I do believe his name was, KRS-One, knowledge reigns supreme over nearly everyone, that hip-hop is what you live, rap is what you do. So
I can dig it.
Let's just talk about the rapping component of hip-hop.
Sure.
Okay, just to keep it in its proper context, if you want to be correct about it. Because what were the components of hip-hop? Is DJing, graffiti, what else?
I mean, the lyrics, brother. Yeah. MC.
So, MC. All right. So we're going to talk about that today, man, because I feel like that there's a need to put some things out on the table that quite frankly, man, outside of just a few things that I've seen while perusing through social media, that a lot of people aren't talking about, and I feel like that we should be concerned about. I think it's past time that we become concerned about it. And I think that as lovers of hip hop music and as responsible adults and as black people in general, man, we're missing the boat, and we're kind of showing our hypocrisy when it comes to some of the music that's being produced, man. And you know, we want to put some things out there because we want some answers. We need some explanations. And so we're going to go ahead and just roll with it, man. And I'm going to start off today, Reg. And I vowed that I would not mention this clown ass motherfucker on this podcast.
Let me guess.
Take a wild guess.
Kanye West.
Yep. I did not want to mention him, and it's not because Kanye has not made dope music in the past.
He's brilliant.
His approach to beat making and his sonic wherewithal is admirable. At the very least.
Good way of putting it.
Yeah, at the very least. It's admirable. Brilliant, otherworldly, and genius on its highest level. But just because somebody's a hip hop producer doesn't mean that and a decent lyricist doesn't mean that they should speak out on certain issues. So without going into everything that he said, because at this particular point, it's kind of old news at this point. But the reason why I bring him into this particular discussion is not because of what he said. And everybody, if you don't know what he said, Google the shit. I'm not going to rehash it. It's not because of what he said. And it's not even really about him at all. It's about our response to it. Our response was to automatically call somebody crazy. And I know you think it fresh. This is supposed to be about hip hop music. And it is. We're going to get to that.
Right. It's the culture.
It's the culture. Yeah. But it's also our culture. And when I talk about our culture, I'm talking about the sociological effects of the culture as well. When we're being socialized in a culture that allows people to speak out, because hip hop is a vehicle for people to speak out. But then we come back and we say, oh, they're crazy. I think that's a mistake. And the reason why I think that's a mistake is because that's such a taboo term and such a disrespectful thing to say to somebody when you really, really think about it, because of the prevalence of mental health issues that go unaddressed in our particular community.
True.
It's totally disrespectful. Then when you start thinking about, and if you really want to know my complete comments in regards to what I said about Kanye on my Instagram page, there's a meme on there that I wrote that says my thoughts on Kanye below. And there's a pretty lengthy explanation on how I feel. In short, it basically says, until you stop giving your money away to people who hate you, until you stop doing the other things that are detrimental to your growth and to your continued existence, then you are in no position to call somebody else crazy. You know, the more we continue to stifle ourselves in regards to black economic power and growth, right, our relationship management skills,
right,
our ability to rear children correctly,
squall,
motherfucker. You know, until we get those things correct, until we clear up some of the dysfunction that exists within our own lives that we brag about. You know, we brag about getting a motherfucking Gucci belt or some Louis Vuitton shit. I mean, just really, really dumb shit. We're so
show
stuck.
Off.
We are stuck in consumerism, consumerist behavior. Until we can break those chains and ensure our existence continues through economic power, Kanye's not the one in the sunken place. We are. And that's exactly what I said. So if you want the details, if you want the full quote unquote dissertation, it's on my Instagram page at Old Man Fresh, OldManFresh. Mr. Fresh, if you're nasty.
Throwback.
Yeah, but if you really want to know what I said, it's on there, man. And it's not offensive, and I'm not trying to offend. I'm just pointing out the obvious shit that I think is obvious. You know, you just can't go around just calling people crazy. That is serious stuff in today's world, because our mental health is our mental health issues are undertreated. We are underserved as a community in regards to mental health. So, and that's going to be another show. I know some people within practitioners within that particular community. We're going to have a show on that. later on in the year, hopefully, if I can pull everybody together. But it's a serious topic, and for somebody to just flippantly just say, "Oh, he's crazy! Oh, he crazy!" I mean that. You know,
sound a little bit like Kanye just now. But
the funny part is that no, he's fucking smart, because everybody on Earth was talking about this motherfucker now.
Well, I mean, you know, social media.
It's social media.
Of course, everybody's going to talk about what's hot.
Right.
And, you know, I think he had something drop recently on top of that. So, you know, people say, is it a publicity stunt or whatever?
Probably so.
You know.
But the point I want to get to, man, is that where is... And how can I put this, man, without being... without sounding like the old man.
Just say it.
Okay. I mean, where is our accountability in our everyday lives when it comes to the other type of music that we consume? Because his comments, as controversial and as, dare I say, stupid as they were, you know, he's not the one out there talking about, you know, popping pills and you know, cooking up dope on the stove and shit like that. I mean, I want to know, every listener that's out there now, if you got Cardi B on your iTunes playlist, tell me why it's okay for her to say, "I fuck him and then I get some money," but it's not okay for Kanye West to spew dumb shit about slavery.
It's like Chris Rock said on his stand-ups, "Ain't talking about me."
Right.
I just hear the beat in the music.
Right.
But
I'm saying, I mean,
it's relevant.
It's a relevant question, man. Because we have to quit allowing dumb shit like this to permeate our neighborhoods and our communities, man. I mean, this is crazy. And I'm not trying to single out Cardi B or anything like that. Because if you know her story, she's getting it as she live. You know what I'm saying? And that's what America is supposed to be about.
Right. So let me
finish, because at the same time, and as on most things that we discuss on this podcast, I mean, it's kind of therapeutic for, you know, for me. Like, I can't speak for Reg, but, you know, it allows me to express the conflict that I have on, especially in this particular, on this particular subject, because I love hip hop music. And when I say I love hip hop music, I mean, I love hip hop music. I believe in free speech. I believe that you should be able to get on the record and say whatever the hell you want to say. I believe in that. However, why aren't we making the smart choices in regards to how we allow this music to affect us? Because I don't, you can never convince me otherwise. When I say that the music that we consume affects the behavior of our children. And I'm going to give you a prime example. My militant stance on a lot of issues came from Public Enemy. Classic album, Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. Let me tell you, that album changed my whole perspective. Had I not listened to it, had I not absorbed it and done the research on it, I may be a totally different person. But our children today are listening to stuff that, and are the parents that are rearing these children listening to stuff that is really detrimental to being a good parent, raising children that are
value, right.
And before somebody loses their shit over what I just said, I'm not saying because you listen to rap music or you listen to Cardi B that you can't be a good parent. But what I'm saying is that you can't let that stuff permeate your spirit enough to where you start having the attitude that reflects what you listen to. That's what I'm saying. And when I look on Facebook, and the other day I looked on Facebook, man, in one of my closed groups, somebody posted, I swear this little girl couldn't have been no more than 5, on there twerking and getting money thrown at her. Crazy shit, man.
Yeah, I mean,
crazy shit. So when you listen to music and you allow your child to be a certain way, you're a fucking failure. You're a failure.
You said a word a few minutes ago. You said the word research. Do your research. And I think that separates people who really care about what they intake and you know, the things that they see, the things that they hear. And, you know, if you research something, research an artist, research maybe what their struggle was coming up, coming through, which really, you know, what a lot of hip hop does, it tells a story, you know, hey, this is how I grew up. This is what our struggles and, you know, situations I've gone through and really how I've got out, you know, gotten through, and sort of connecting with that artist, connecting with, you know, the music. We know the music is typically banging, but connecting with the lyrics and say, hey, you know what? I'm from SWAT Atlanta too. I know exactly what, you know, the Dungeon Family's talking about. I know exactly what T.I.'s talking about. I'm from Queensbridge and so on and so forth. And so you have that connection. I think what happens is who's writing the checks? Who owns the label? And who's really pushing the narrative out here that, like you said, piggybacking off of our N-word discussion, who's making you or influencing you to say nigga a lot and calling each other, you know, bitches and hoes and drinking, you know, the best liquor and the hottest liquor out there and doing drugs, everything that is not constructive to your life. And so I think that's the line that is drawn is, okay, we have a lot of brilliant artists out here that's creating work, you know, that's going to last a lifetime.
Which is why it's a problem.
Yeah. So you say, which is why it's a problem. In what context?
The context being that we're putting shit out there, or we're consuming shit that is a lifetime problem. I mean, when you look at, I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but when you look at music is part of your, for most of us, music is just part of your everyday culture. It becomes part of your everyday vernacular, if you will. We internalize what we hear.
It's a ritual.
I mean, because that's why we recite rap lyrics. When we see a situation that,
right,
you know, when we see police brutality, what do all Michael say? Man, fuck the police.
Fuck the police.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's, you know, or we say fight the power, or we say something.
It could be anything.
You know,
yeah, like anything. I wish I was a little bit taller.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
I wish I was a baller.
Right. I mean, it's in anything, man. Or I mean, you know, if you about, I mean, dude, there's so many songs, and we're not going.
And black people, we live by cliches,
right? We live by cliches and phrases and things like that. So, you know, it's influential. So that's when I say, don't come to me with some crazy shit when I know that I'm right about this, because you can't say that you don't have hip hop. If you're a hip hop fan, if you live hip hop, if you have grown up over the past 25, 30 years, you can't, and you call that your music, you can't say that you're not influenced by that. My only question is, because again, I want to be clear. I want to be crystal clear here. Again, I believe in the First Amendment. I do not believe in censorship. Secondly, what I didn't mention earlier is that I 100% agree with these young black people getting their fucking money. I agree with it. If you have the opportunity, because it's better for one of these young men to be on the mic talking some dumb shit than them climbing in my window trying to take my shit, which is where a lot of these circumstances, where a lot of these gentlemen come from. However, what I have a problem with is that's their endeavor. That's a business endeavor for them. Okay. It's not noble in my eyes. I don't necessarily respect it 100%, My bigger problem, Reg, is why we continue to consume it. And that is the question that I want to pose. I don't want to put all of the onus on the artist, because it's legal. It's an opportunity. They're creating, if they're smart, they're creating wealth that hopefully they'll never be able to spend, and maybe they can hand down to their children. There's no negatives in that. I mean, you know, and that's why I say I'm conflicted. That's why we discuss these issues, because there's no one answer or one way. But what I need to know is, as a consumer, why do you listen to an album that talks about excessive drug use? Why do you listen to an album that talks about disrespecting our black women? Why do you listen to an album that talks about prostitution? Why do you buy a product that talks about endangering the welfare of your children? Why do you consume that? That is the question that I want answered today. Hit me up and let me know. You can DM me. Shit, as a matter of fact, let me tell you something, man. Normally, I don't do this.
No, you're not.
You can text me personally. 704-946-6060.
This is a first.
Send me a text. It could be as long as you want to send it. Send me a text. Let me know. Let me know why you buy this shit. Because, I mean, and again, there's no judgment here. There's no judgment here. We're looking for answers, because we need to curtail some of it. But I need to know what the fascination is, because I love some of the new music that is out. If, you know, because, you know, I produce music and stuff. So it's like, when I hear music that's sonically pleasing, I feel it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I feel right, that. And
that's what I said. It, you know, the beat, the lyrics, the rhythm.
Amos Wilson talked about that. You know what I mean? That's, you know. But he talks about protecting the culture and enhancing the culture.
Right.
You know, so, and, I mean, what are we doing? Why aren't we trying to enhance the culture now? What's wrong if every rapper decided that they wanted to talk about conscious shit or uplifting shit? There would not be any other product for these corporations to push.
I think it's all about responsibility and how you do it, because, you know, you can pose a question of why are you buying this stuff? Now you can buy it and listen to it. Now is your responsibility in terms of how, now what? Like, what do you do with it now? Like, was it your twin, Michael Eric Dyson? he took Tupac, right?
That's fucked up.
He took Tupac's lyrics and songs and made a college course out of it. So you can take a lot of negativity out of Tupac's lyrics and his songs, what have you. And it's a lot of fan, you know, he's noted to be one of the best hip hop artists of all time. But he took Tupac's lyrics and made a college course and broke that shit down into it positively. So
dude, Tupac also wrote revolutionary lyrics. He wrote about disrupting the system. He wrote about rebellion. He wrote about,
but it's still hip hop, and I'm just saying. It's still hip hop,
but what I'm saying is, you know, for every song, like, you know, let's name it, like, you know, I Get Around, Digital Underground, and stuff like that. You know, for when we talked about,
he breaks that song down too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying though is, like, for every song that was, because that song is, when you think about it, man, it's kind of misogynistic. But when you listen to the uncut version of How Do You Want It, that's a misogynistic ass song. Yeah. But for every one of those, he made something else. You know, he made the Holla If You Hear Me. He made the Brenda's Got a Baby. You know, he made, you know.
All right. So how do you, so then where do you draw the line from, hey, I got some trash shit, I got some shit that's going to destroy you, and I got some stuff that's going to empower you.
Yeah, now, well, this is the thing. I would probably be a little bit more, or should I say, I'd probably be a little bit less cranky of an old man if some of these people would offer a more conscious view along with the other shit. Because again, and I repeat, don't get what I'm saying twisted, people. Don't hit me up on social media on some bullshit. Just don't do it. Be smart. Have great dialogue. Don't hit me with no crazy shit. Listen to everything that I'm saying before you engage. I believe in being able to say what you want to say. But everything that you want to say doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that it doesn't have consequences. Doesn't mean that it doesn't have a ripple effect within the community. And so I guess a great compromise, a great way to start would be, if you're so brilliant that you can break down how to slang cane and how to cook it and, you know, how to chop it up and what the price should be and how much you're going to make off of each brick you sell. If you're so fucking brilliant, I'm sure that you can use your intelligence to come up with a solution to the rest of our problems, to the problems in the community where your ass came from. And if you're slinging that much motherfucking dope, you did some detriment to that community too. So really, motherfucker, you owe something.
Hey man, you know, I made a donation to the community center, you know, in the neighborhood. Which, what more you want me to do?
I'm just saying though, I'm just telling you that if you doing all that slinging,
right,
you know, you owe something, nigga.
You owe something.
You owe something. And dude, so, I just said the N-word. I owe some money.
Yeah.
You owe some money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta put
$10. You said you would never say that again. Yeah, so in life.
I gotta put $10.
I didn't say that I would say it.
So we got the nigga jar up here. Yeah, I gotta put $10 in the nigga jar.
Put it in the nigga jar.
But yeah, man, I mean, if you're doing that, you owe something. You know, and this is what I don't understand. Going back to the Kanye shit. We're going to admonish this man and we're going to kick him out. He can't come to the picnic no more. That's the cliche now. He can't come to the picnic. You know, he's married. He's on the other side now. He's in the sunken place and all this stuff. You know, we're going to admonish him and we're going to excommunicate him from the church. He can't come back to the church and definitely can't come to the picnic. But we're going to let Pusha T, who says ain't nobody slaying no more dope than me, to Eazy-E.
Right.
And I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, like that's some shit to be proud of. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't get that shit, but yet we're all up on, and I love rap beef. I love all that shit too. But I'm just saying, man, I mean, yo, I think that's some clown shit. You know, why are you glorifying the fact that you sold dope to your own people, that you were putting your own people in graves or causing, you know, disrupting generations, stifling growth? The fuck is that to be proud of?
On any level. I mean, because
I don't get that shit. I don't get it.
Just like with anything in culture, you have varying levels of intelligence of the listeners and readers and those who receive things. And I think, you know, with hip hop, you have people who, I mean, they go along with it being glamorized. Again, who's pushing the narrative? We know who's pushing the narrative, and they're our enemies. And it just becomes a part of us. Just like, you know, on the N-word episode, I said the same thing, as it becomes an everyday thing. I mean, to the point where some of our best hip hop, we can sit here and talk about hip hop songs from the past. I know one album that, you know, Doggy Style album back in 93, 94. Snoop is one of my favorite albums. And you're talking about misogyny to the fullest. It's funny, right? And that's some of the deception that goes on with music and with any type of imagery and propaganda that's out there, spewed out there, is, hey, let me juice this thing up. I'm going to make the beats hot. I'm going to make it funny. You're going to talk about gin and juice. You know, you riding out. And, you know, I'm just going to cover it up. And so that it gets so much in your, like you said earlier, in your psyche. It becomes part of your vernacular. You're talking it. And, you might say something that, you know, depending on the situation, you'll tell a line. You know, from an old rap song. But you have to, you know, as I'm talking about hip hop now and I pass it on to my son, I talk about to kids now, what makes it different than what I'm doing? I'm consciously aware. Me and you are consciously aware of what we're seeing right now as far as what's important to the community, right? But yet we still might bump a certain song in the car, you know, where our kids are listening. I'm, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, that you necessarily do, but you know what I'm saying? I guess what I'm trying to say is, where do we cut it off? If once you know something and if it's hurtful to anybody, you should cut it off, right? You say, you know what? I love hip hop, but I'm just going to listen to that shit on my own headphones, or in my own company or whatever, because I don't want, you know, I don't want my son or I don't want somebody else to hear this stuff and you know, who it can really impact negatively. So where do you draw the line with yourself? Just like with anything else, you take an individual approach first, right? And I think, you know, the questions that you're posing are definitely point on, but you got to hit yourself first and then say, okay, where did I go wrong? Because I like the shit. Why a 13-year-old today who's listening to Migos or, you know, a lot of these cats out here, why should we, you know, censor them now? And they going through what we went through back in the day. They, you know, maybe they have to learn on their own as far as, hey, let me decipher this. You know, what does this mean? And they have more of the access nowadays to even know what the lyrics mean. You know, social media has just created that. We just had a play button and a record button and stop and rewind, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we had to sit and just really listen to people and just try to make it work for us, man. But,
man, my response to that would be pretty simple. Back when I listened to groups like Tribe Called Quest,
The Best,
Brand Nubian,
yes sir,
Jungle Brothers,
yes sir,
even Leaders of the New School, you know,
Busted, yeah,
you know, that whole crew, man, you know, De La Soul,
oh man,
Stetsasonic,
dude, I'm about to start breakdancing on this floor right here.
I mean, Stetsasonic, man, we talk about
popping and locking,
Just Ice. You talk about, of course, KRS-One,
Kane.
I mean, yeah, Big Daddy Kane. You talk about, I mean, all these old school rappers, man. I mean, you know, MC Light and Queen Latifah. You know, people think of Queen Latifah as the, you know, the Chicago musical. Wasn't that the musical she was in Chicago?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, people identify her as the movie star and the Broadway, you know, play. But I'm telling you, Queen Latifah used
to
just rip people on the mic. You know what I'm saying? But she made songs like Unity and things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Who you calling a bitch?
Yeah, who you calling a bitch? You know what I'm saying? I mean, dude, this is what permeated our spirits back in the day.
Right.
That manifested itself in the African Medallions, the cultural dress.
Yeah, the X-Clan.
I mean, shoot. I mean, what's his name? Professor X. I think he's passed now. But Brother J. You know what I'm saying? From X-Clan. I mean, you know, you talk about all these people that put forth such monumental works of art that were uplifting. This shit ain't that hard to do.
It's not.
The shit was popular as fuck. It's not that hard to do. You understand what I'm saying?
But whose responsibility is it, though?
And this is the thing. This is the thing, dude. When you look at some of the most successful labels of the day, you can look at my 500 CDs I got over there right now. You can look at the labels that are on there. Elektra Records.
Like 600.
You know, Tommy Boy Records. And, you know, all these records that were making money. But they made money off of Afrocentricity. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they made money off of that. So, I mean, so the argument that, oh, yeah, you know, conscious music doesn't have an audience now. That's some bullshit. That's some teetotal bullshit, because it's been done. It's been done. And it was done when you really think about it, the economic resources were less than they are today, because black people bought the music back then. You understand what I'm saying? And we didn't have the, you know, the same type of, you know, disposable income and the wealth. But we pushed the industry. We made the industry. We created the content and we bought the content. Cause they it's like that. All that shit changed when white kids start liking the shit.
Yeah. And
black, white kids weren't wearing X hats.
They really had to work for it back then too. You know, I mean, I think it's a lot easier to sit up.
We bought it, dude.
Yeah. I mean, anything with, it's just like the struggle back then. Like it was, black people had more, if you just talk about us for a minute, in the, you know, civil rights movement and, you know, what our folks went through back in the day, they were closer knit then than we are now as a people, and they had less. I mean, I'm just going off of what you said. Hey, they had less to work with and they had, you know, less resources. I mean, you're talking about didn't have cell phones, didn't have internet, but yet they were able to assemble. Same thing with hip hop and music. You had less resources to get things done. They really put in that work.
Let me tell you, man, I will be honest with you, man. And this may be this. I feel like that. And personally, this particular group hasn't done anything to me or anything like that. But I feel like that when Caucasian groups and individuals started permeating hip hop, it really did some dumb shit to hip hop. The only group that I could see at the time when I was really, really growing through hip hop as a young man that really I could stomach was the Beastie Boys. And I don't know if it was because they came from that same Def Jam camp and it all had a feel, it all had, you know.
Yeah, I think it was great timing for them too.
Right. But I'm not sure why I related to that at the particular time, but I feel like that, you know, when we started doing that clown shit, when we started doing that Vanilla Ice bullshit,
it's garbage.
When you had motherfuckers like, what's the dude name that did that Rico Suave shit? Was it Gerardo? Some Gerardo? Some shit like that. When they started really doing that crazy,
they watered it down, man.
You know, I mean, and I'm not trying to bang on Hammer, man. I'm not, because you know, because Hammer came from you know his hood and brought every motherfucker with him. It's hard to hate on that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's hard to hate on. And when we talk about empowerment and opportunity and things like that, I mean, Hammer lived that shit.
Yeah.
It cost him a lot of motherfucking money, but Hammer lived that shit. But I'm not a fan of the music, man.
Well,
not a fan. And when he tried to come back and tried to be harder, like with the pumps and the bump and all the other stuff, it didn't really fit. You know, it looked gimmicky. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but Hammer, I mean, you didn't like the music because, nigga, you went out there dancing. Hammer has
no,
some
I
dude.
Don't, seriously. No,
Hammer,
no.
If you were a dancer in the late 80s, early 90s, cats was dancing, right? And I was one of them. So that music was, his music was banging, bro. And I think
it was banging.
The thing with hip hop, and I mean, you have artists that can capture you in different ways. He captured you. Hammer can dance, bro. I put him up there with, I didn't say put him up there, but in the likes of, like, when you talk of like great dancers, James Brown, Michael Jackson, even Chris Brown, dude, Hammer was that dude. But Hammer, let me just get back on subject. Hammer employed a lot of brothers and sisters.
That's what I said. I gave him props.
He
off
gave
the rip,
jobs,
man,
to a lot of people.
I told you he took the whole hood with him. Did you not hear me when I said this?
I know,
shit?
But I'm just reiterating that point. I'm making that point again. was that he came at a time, people ride certain waves, right? And I think the wave that he came in was his shit. People came off of Hammers, like they got off his coattails with the dancing, with the same, maybe the same sound or whatever. And I just thought he rode a wave. Everybody was dancing in the 80s. So, hey, I'm going to dance too and just get you to grooving. I don't see nothing wrong with that. So, I mean, I just stood up for the brother because I was one of those brothers out there dancing. How about that?
Okay. And that's a sight that I don't really want to try to visualize. Yeah. But man, yeah, sure. I'm going to tell you, I mean, the album went diamond. And for those who don't know, diamond is 10 million. I'm not sure how many of us bought that. But nonetheless, my point being is that it really shifted the balance of hip hop. You know, not a lot of people want to just, they don't want to go into this particular realm. They don't want to challenge this. Again, for everything that he did, and it's not that I know him personally, but I mean, you know, you read the stories and, you know, you hear his own personal accounts. You know, like, again, he took the whole hood with him. Everybody that was down for him, he took them. He put people on, gave people jobs, whether they were, you know, whether they were roadies, whether they were dancers, you know, whatever. I mean, he made a way for him. And that is admirable. That is admirable. So I'm not going to speak negatively about Hammer as, you know, as a person, because number one, I don't know him. And number two, my perception is not a negative perception. So I just want to be clear on that because people get shit twisted. But I really feel like that his album, along with, you know, Vanilla Ice's album, when those things sold, that really switched a lot of shit. Because when you start thinking about it, man, 2 years later, Hammer came out February 1990 with Hammer Don't Hurt Him. When was the Chronic released? It's like 92
or something.
Two short years, man. The Afrocentricity was gone. Because people realized that there was a different way to get paid. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, and it was like, man, you know, Hammer's not really doing, he's not doing that medallion shit. You know, I mean, even though, I mean, Hammer blacker than a motherfucker, man. I mean, Hammer is, he's not a crossover dude in regards to his personal walk. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to cast any type of, negative light him.
I think he still gets street cred.
Yeah, I mean, Hammer is a real dude. So based on things that I've read and people's accounts, he's a real dude. So I mean, I just want to keep saying that this is not about him as a person. But I feel like that when people realize that they could sell 10 million. You know, when you realize that you can get paid off of that Good Time stuff for real or whatever it was, you know, I mean, Afrocentricity died, dude. They died. It died. But then, man, and I swear, man, I mean, I got the Chronic on my iPod right now. It's been, I'll put it like this. The Chronic has been on my iPhone since I've had an iPhone back in 2009.
Mm.
So
it's a banger, man. It's a
banger.
It's a classic.
But it's all about smoking weed and a whole bunch of other stuff that is not really good for the community. You know what I'm saying? So this is where the conflict comes in. So then when people realize that, oh shit, I can make a whole album about smoking weed, then boom. I mean, and that was just another blow to the conscious movement, to the Afrocentricity. And then, you know, people tried to come out with albums and people weren't checking for that shit no more. And that's where, in my eyes, just as a hip hop fan and as a hip hop consumer, that's where the pendulum swung. And whether or not that was a record company initiative or was it just dumb fucking luck?
it's always in the minds of who's controlling it, bro.
Because right after that, right after the Chronic, you had the quote unquote bad boy era come through.
Yeah,
when all he did was like, and I'm a Sean Combs fan from an entrepreneurial standpoint. So I mean, this is not a negative thing. I'm strictly about the music here. He even said, "I take hits from the '80s and recycle them."
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, and that's what that was about. He was trying to make good time music, trying to make people dance, and it wasn't really about the black experience per se. And with just less than 10 years before that, you know, you talk about, I mean, Public Enemy made Fear of a Black Planet, right? Right?
Right.
And I think that came out maybe 1988,
maybe.
No, I think that was, may have been 1990. April 10th, okay. 1990. So we're talking about 4 short years in between an album where they are literally asking you who stole the soul. You know what I'm saying? Because it was already happening. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Public Enemy were the people that were talking about the bullshit going on in Hollywood. But then you had somebody like Hammer that was straight Hollywood with the productions and just to be clear, you can look on Hammer's album tracks and there were some one hit that he had, it was called Pray, I think it was called. Or We Have to Pray. I think it was called Pray.
Just to Make It Today.
Right. So I think it was he sampled a Prince, maybe? I think it was When Doves Cry, he sampled it.
Right.
But, I mean, you can look at that and you can say, okay, yeah. I mean, he still had some consciousness per se. And I think that song actually did pretty well. But then you have Public Enemy, on the other hand, was like everything. Listen to the lineup. Listen to the lineup in Fear of a Black Planet. Okay, let's just look, you know, I think that's an intro. Let's listen to this. Brother's Gonna Work It Out, which is a banging song. 911 is a joke, classic song, talking about the response classic time in the black community from 911. Nobody talking about
classic
that shit.
classic video too.
You talk about Incident at 66.6 FM, which is basically an indictment on FM radio playing a bunch of dumb shit that is detrimental to the community. Welcome to the Terror Dome. Classic. I mean, come on, man. Polly Want a Cracker. You already know what that's about. Anti-Nigga Machine. It's a song, so I don't owe $10 for the nigga jar. Damn. For that. Burn Hollywood Burn. You see these issues that they're attacking? This was the type of music that I fell in love with. Right. Because it enabled me to understand issues that were bigger than what my immediate circumstances were. They were laid out that way. I didn't want to dance after I heard this shit, because I thought that, yeah, these are the issues that I need to be trying to affect later on.
Right.
Who stole a soul? Who stole a soul? And so I guess the question at this particular point is, and not to dwell on this particular classic album, because this is not one of the music reviews that we're trying to do. It may be, though. But why do we not pay attention to things like this anymore? Why is it okay to make a song that glorifies Percocet and Molly and syrup? And, you know, why is it okay for you to glorify drinking prescription cough syrup to get high? Is it the same reason why the Chronic sold? I mean, is it just the Chronic 2018? I mean, tell me, man. I need to know.
It's deception, man. It's deliberate deception of what you need to be doing, black people out here. He who controls the printed page controls the thinking of the age. Whatever goes, whatever you read, whatever you listen to, if I'm pushing it, damn it, that's what you're going to think. That's what you're going to party off of. That's what's going to be in your head. And so those songs that you just read off, the titles of those songs, the titles alone tell you what to expect.
Exactly.
But the songs that were pushed on radio, and mind you, in 1990, it was all about radio. And maybe if you see something on the video,
maybe
you see something on the video, mainstream, maybe
at 3 o'clock in the morning, because you know they wasn't playing black shit during the day.
Exactly. And then you had your MTV raps that came through,
right?
What have you? But other than that, it depends on what's on the radio. And then once, you know, after radio became, you know, second place and third place or whatever, and they figured, shoot, we can pump this through other means. You mean to tell me I can have a 15-year-old listening to something at any moment in time? Oh yeah, I'm about to change the narrative on you. I'm about to replace song titles and make it, hey, you know what? Let's just have fun. Let's just have fun. Don't you just want to have fun, young black man, young black woman? Don't you just want to shake that gorgeous body of yours that you starting to develop at 13? Don't you just want to do that? Young boy, don't you just want to get high? I mean, look at these rappers. You know, they got the cars and the houses and stuff. That's how they got it. They
don't you just
dope.
Want a big ass chain?
Exactly. Don't you want that shit? I mean, we already, I think as a people, just fresh. I mean, we like fly stuff, but you know, it's just,
they don't call me fresh for nothing.
Who is pushing it? And that's what it is. So you have to know who your enemy is. I don't know if I'm a broken record, but that's really what it is. And it takes someone who has the mindset to say, wait. Right. I mean, we all right. You know, if you're a parent out there, you whether you're a crackhead or you're just very, you know, very in tune to your kids' daily living and what they consume and receive, most people are going to say, hey, you don't need to be watching that. Hey, you don't need to be listening to that.
And why don't we do that now, though?
I think we do that to a certain extent. It's like,
man, we don't do that shit, man. I mean, because it's too many people out here that know the lyrics. Too many kids out here that know the lyrics to these songs. And maybe because the shit is so danceable now. I mean, you know, I mean, we got a lot of talented kids out here who make these videos where they dance to these songs. And you know, and this is talent there, man. I mean, there's undeniable talent. So they have to consume it one way or the other. You know, you can't do the things that you're doing without actually letting that shit permeate you one way or the other. So, you know, how do we keep it from our kids? Do you have an answer to that? How do we do that?
It's just like if you have a child that you don't want to have sex yet, you teach celibacy, which is abstinence. So you might have to go cold turkey and say, you just cannot listen to this. You are, you know, it's just, hey, these are the rules of the house. Maybe you have to just go, you just got to dive in, I guess. And just do the best you can to educate around it. You know, if a song comes on and whether or not your child has questions about the lyrics of that song or whatever, you might, you know, it's a teachable moment, right? With anything else. Hey, what you think about that song, son? You know, he says whatever. Say, all right, let me tell you what it really means. It's just like you mentioned about Percocet. Hell, I didn't know for a minute what he was talking about. I was like, wait a minute, isn't he talking about that drug? You know, so a kid, you know, who's a little more naive or it's not catching on, he's just, you know, tapping his foot or whatever, he ain't even thinking about it. And you have to, you know, as a parent, have to be the responsible one to say, hey, here's what it means, and just ask questions, man. And maybe hopefully your child will, you know, say some answers that are, you know, well enough that it's going to keep them alive and educate them enough, you know.
Right. So, man, but before we jet, man, I just want to again pose the question to the listeners out there, is it, why do you keep buying this shit? I mean, straight up, why you keep buying this shit? You know, I mean, you know what's being portrayed. You're not stupid. You can hear. You can interpret. Why do you keep buying it? Why do you keep downloading it? Why do you keep streaming it? Is it just the beat? Are we hypnotized by the beat? Are we that stupid? And why don't we take action in regards to putting some of these hip hop artists on Front Street for the bullshit that they put out? You know, those are legitimate questions, because like I said, we can't call Kanye crazy when we are letting other people push poison into our community, into our homes. Not around the corner, on the front porch, dude. In the living room.
Right in front of you.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can't call Kanye crazy when you're letting somebody tell your son how to cook crack.
And then dancing off of it.
And then dancing off of it. So I'm like, so who's really the crazy motherfucker right here? You understand what I'm saying? So if you are willing, hit me up on the DMs. I already gave out my phone number. Text me. Don't call me because I don't have you locked in yet.
You already gave out the numbers.
It'll go straight to voicemail, and I want to communicate. So text me. I promise you I'll respond. Again, engage me properly, because I will not tolerate ignorant bullshit. We want to open up serious dialogue for us. But tell me why. I just want to know why. Why don't we check? You talk about G-checking people. Why don't we G-check these rappers about this shit? We know, we sit up here talking about rap beefs that have happened, you know, over the course of some weeks, and you know, people are like, oh man, you know, he went hard on him, this, that, and the third. But I'm just like, this dude is a clown, man. This dude's a clown. Is he talented? I'm talking about Pusha T. Is he talented as a rapper? Yes. You know, but for you to, you know, I saw something, you know, I don't know how long ago it was now, but he was on the Breakfast Club talking about, I even said, I got a line, and he said, you know, ain't nobody sold more dope than me except Eazy-E. And I'm just like, nigga, what is that to be proud of? Damn, it's just another $10, ain't it?
Right.
Shit. Sorry. Damn. $10 in the nigga chart. Damn. I'm up to 20.
Yeah. I'm about to eat lunch this week.
Damn.
I'm about to eat lunch for free.
But what I'm saying though, man, what I'm saying is that, what is that to be proud of? What's that to be proud of? I mean, why is that something that you want to build your career on? I mean, because really, like I said, that makes you look like a fucking clown, in my eyes, anyway.
That's true.
It doesn't. And man, I'm telling you, I'm so conflicted on this, and I swear, you're gonna hear me say that a lot, because, again, this is the medium where we get this shit out and we start the discussion, because I know I'm not the only one conflicted on it. I don't profess to have all the answers. I have opinions. I have a lot of opinions, but I don't have all the answers. So this is why I say, hey, look, I'm conflicted on this. You let me know what's up, because I'm not a know-it-all, even though I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Why would you want to build your career off of saying, hey, I saw a crack? And don't think that I'm gonna let this dude slide either. This is why I wasn't a fan of Jay-Z.
Okay.
Because I'm like, dude, you got the most gorgeous wife in the business.
I dig it.
You got all the money in the world, but you're still talking about what you used to do in the streets. Now, I think based on some of his other releases, I think that he has moved on from that. But, you know, there was a time where I was thinking like, man, what?
Shit gets old.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Gets old.
I'm like, dude, you older than me.
Right.
You older than me, and you talking about selling crack in the streets? I mean, yeah, we know that's part of your story now, but give up some game now about how you can have your money make money for you. And again, to his credit, I think that he has evolved to a point to where he's actually doing that.
Yeah, 444 gave you some nuggets.
Gave you some game. So, I mean, so in that regard, I mean, I feel it. But I'm going to let people know. And if this happens to get into some artist iPods, or you know, it gets somewhere where they listen to what we're saying, understand that we love hip hop and we respect your talent. But Fresh, personally, does not respect that dope selling shit. I think,
no doubt.
I'm going to let Red speak for himself, but I'm going to tell you. You talk about that dope selling shit, you a clown to me. You a clown. You really a clown. But at the same time, it's again, I'm conflicted. Because I don't knock any man's hustle. I do not knock your hustle. But I feel like that once you get into a certain position, you need to let some of that other bullshit go.
Grow up.
You need to grow the fuck up.
Grow up.
I even had a meme that I put on my my Instagram page, man. It's like everybody's talking about the glow up, but it's just amazing what happens if you just grow up. Mm. You know, so get up off that dope seller shit, man. You know, it's I can't say it enough. It's some clown shit. And I don't respect it. Any real man is not going to respect that shit at all. And again, man, I don't give a fuck what you think about it. You might have guessed that from some of my other podcasts. Yeah,
I believe that's a,
you know, but what I'm saying though, man, I mean, but what we do need to give a fuck about is the effects that it has on us. And that's real. We need to care about that. So again, man, hey, we appreciate y'all taking the time to listen today. Hit us up again at ICBW Podcast. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I gave out my phone number to you to text me. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to talk about this shit and make it better, let's have dialogue and make it better, man. I don't want to argue with anybody about no shit. You know, but I do need people to understand where we're coming from with it, and just to take a second look at what you're allowing to be fed to your families and your children, especially. Reg, you got any things you want to say?
Only thing I wanted to say, I'll just go off tangent real quick, and this will be pretty much a segue to another hip hop show that we'll have in the future. Real quick, Fresh, who are your top five MCs?
Oh God. Top five.
No particular order.
Rakim. KRS-One. Black Thought. How many is that? Three?
That's three.
Man. I mean, for the content, for the lyrical content, Chuck D.
Okay.
And man, I'm gonna have to say Cool J.
Okay.
I'm going to say Cool J. No particular order, but I gotta put him in there.
All right, much respect.
I gotta put him in there.
I have some of your usuals. I got Biggie, Tupac, Kane, Rakim, and Nas. But much respect to those.
Man, let me tell you, man. I feel like that the Biggie and Nas, I mean, not the Biggie and Nas, but the Biggie and Tupac thing.
Don't say it's overrated.
No. I don't want to say it's overrated. I think they're the second five though, because I really think and feel me on this. I can feel the phone about to vibrate now. And it's not that I don't think that they're top five worthy, but I do want to say that they were shooting stars. We didn't really get a chance to get what we were supposed to get from them.
Their body of work, they were still a work in progress.
They were still a work in progress. So I'm thinking that top five of the time that they were alive, yes. But I mean, we're talking about all time. I can't give it to them like that. Second five, yeah.
Like I said, there'll be another episode as to breaking that down. But I just wanted to.
And you know, man, it's like that shit starts more fights than dice games. You know that shit.
I'm trying to tell you.
It's like
brothers will fight over that.
You know what I'm saying?
Than dominoes, man.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling y'all, if y'all listen to Black Thought.
Oh, Black Thought. Hey,
you start understanding where I'm coming from.
When you said Black Thought, I was like, yo.
Yeah.
For real. He's in my second five.
Yeah. But yeah, man. I mean, damn, how can I forget Kane though, man? King Asiatic, everybody's like, God damn. How did I forget? Kane is my dude, man.
Hey, man.
Man.
Just saying.
Man. Man. Yeah, well, that's got to be another show, man. We got to do that show, man. But man, any last words, man?
Be good, be safe, and behave, bro.
And we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass justice has the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, then you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, then you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.